This episode of Locked On NBA is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and get in on the conversation. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA, the daily podcast covering everything you want to know about the association. And on Wednesdays, I'm your usual co-host, Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can find me on Twitter at NolaJake.
And I am the host of Locked On Phoenix Suns. My name is Brendan Clean. You can follow me at BrendanClean14.
She's subbing in for John, who is covering the Washington Wizards versus Boston Celtics game. We'll get to that in the second segment of today's show, and we are going to focus on the play-in tournament. So before we jump into this first game, the Charlotte Hornets versus Indiana Pacers, which was not particularly fun, let's say, with a final score of 144-117. Brendan, what was your feeling on the night's games just anyway? Did it feel kind of different because it was the play-in tournament?
It definitely had higher stakes. I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot in terms of, I guess the only reference point I had was the MLB wild card and that situation. I mean, football is always one game, right? So I was going into it feeling like it would have that mood, that vibe. I think it kind of lived up to that. I mean, we'll talk about Charlotte right here and maybe not in their case, but you saw, I think, some of the things I was expecting. Veterans, you know, well-coached teams kind of rising up, superstars kind of willing their team to what they needed to do. So in that way, I think it felt like a game seven or like an MLB wildcard game. But yeah, not every team felt that way, I don't think.
No, certainly the Charlotte Hornets didn't. And this was the game that I thought felt most kind of like an NCAA tournament game, like a March Madness game, where like you don't really know what's going to happen going into some of those, I think, where you have the Indiana Pacers who kind of limped into this game to a certain degree. There were rumors of were they going to fire their head coach, Nate Bjorkgren, at the end of the year. Like, this was a team that I don't think we felt very confident in. And then they come out and completely thrash, like totally thrashed the Charlotte Hornets. But it was also like a variance game, right? You had Doug McDermott just go off in this one in the first quarter. He finished with 21 points on the night. And it's kind of like when you have something like that, good luck other team, even if maybe they're the better team, even though I don't think Charlotte actually was.
No, you're right. It is a good luck type of a game when guys like that are going off. I mean, you also had O'Shea Brissett, a player that I'm not even sure many NBA fans remembered until he was forced into action because of the injuries on Indiana. He scored 23, had 10 of 14 from the field. So those things are not really bankable on the part of the Pacers, but still, they lose this game, I think the Hornets do, because of their defense. The ability leaving McDermott open the way that they did, allowing Indiana to dominate the glass the way that they did, 54-36 rebounding margin. There were some things that you could have predicted about Indiana that Charlotte still let them do. And it's disappointing. They were obviously the less experienced team, but you would have, of course, liked a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, they kind of surprised all year long, right? And look, they were without Gordon Hayward in this one, but they were a really fun team to watch all season long. They kind of had this like upstart feel to them, but they just didn't show up in this game. Like, there's no other way to put it, I don't think. You know, you mentioned their defense. How many backdoor cuts did we see Indiana do all game long just to get easy buckets at the rim? And the Pacers scored 74 points in the paint in this one. And Charlotte, like, they just didn't try. Like, they had no answer for this. Doesn't help, again, the shooting for Indiana, and the shooting was not there for the Indiana Pacers or for the Charlotte Hornets. They were 12 of 40 from three in this one. LaMelo Ball, 4 of 14 from the field, 14 total points. Terry Rozier, 7 of 20. Like, when you kind of have those kind of games, like, you're probably going to lose. And it's just, the stakes are so high in this one. It sucks when that happens in, you know, a win or go home kind of game.
No, you're back to your original question of the vibe of the play-in game. And I think the real thing we might start to observe, not only after this week, but just doing this from now on in the NBA, which seems here to stay, is you're going to get randomness. I mean, the league is so reliant on threes these days, and, you know, which team wins the three-point battle tends to be a pretty good indicator of which team's going to win. And you're going to get nights that really are lopsided like this as a result of that. So that's one thing I walked away from this one with. But also, like you said, with Nate Bjorkgren and the rumors around his potential dismissal here and not relating to the players and all that stuff that was in the news a couple of weeks ago, compared to Charlotte, who has had a lot of positive vibes around their coach, James Borrego, who's gotten nothing but good marks and seems to really have turned this around. And so that narrative was completely turned around in this game, where Indiana appeared to be way more ready to play and obviously completely outplayed the Hornets when it was all said and done. That was not something I was expecting.
No, that was a big surprise, especially when we got news today that Caris LeVert wasn't going to be available for the Pacers in this one. Like, I completely forgot about that throughout the course of the game because they looked so good. It's due to health and safety protocols. You know, should they, now that they're into the playoffs and or they've got one more game to go, should they get in, they're going to miss him in parts of the first round too, potentially, depending on how long that lasts. And that kind of added a degree to it. But this Pacers team looked ready to play. We haven't even really mentioned Domantas Sabonis, who had a scorching hot end to the regular season. Not the best shooting night for him, but he finished with 14 points, 21 rebounds, and 9 assists, which is a pretty incredible stat line. But yeah, we could sum this one up with just the Hornets did not show up, and Indiana looked ready to play in this one. They advance in the play-in tournament, but overall, like, despite this, I as you said, like, I liked the stakes. It felt more important than a game that has this kind of score should feel.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This did not feel like a 27 point blowout. And look, you have guys, Miles Bridges playing 37 minutes, Terry Rozier, 35. The Hornets did not pack it in by the time, you know, the halftime came, which is what we saw in this condensed and weird regular season. So no, it was competitive and all that. It's just, you know, the result speaks for itself.
Yeah, that's the final score. So we don't need to spend too much more time talking about this one. A game that was a little bit more interesting was the Washington Wizards versus the Boston Celtics. We'll touch on that one coming up here next on today's edition of Locked On NBA. But before we do that, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. And once you're in, you're in. You can talk with me. You can talk with Brendan, other fans, athletes, insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I host rooms every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central. Brendan, you host a room as well?
Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern. Yep, talking Suns.
It's so much fun to be, you know, we talk to people on the shows here. It's fun to have that interactivity, right? And be able to ask people questions and hear what they have to say about the team, I think.
Oh, yeah. Got to argue with some Knicks fans. It's been fun. It's awesome for sure.
No, it's a great way to just interact with others, and Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You're going to find fans just like yourself on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to the biggest news and rumors as we head into the NBA's offseason. You have a chance to chat with me or a variety of others, Brendan included as well, on there, and even be potentially featured on your favorite Locked On show. So go download the free Locker Room app right now, currently available on all iOS devices, and be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NBA group for the latest league updates, and make sure you get in on the conversation. So Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, opening night for the NBA's play-in tournament occurring for the Eastern Conference here. Next game we've got up was the Boston Celtics beating the Washington Wizards 118-100. This means the Celtics are into the first round of the NBA playoffs. Officially, they'll be taking on the Brooklyn Nets as the seventh seed. Again, kind of same theme, right? Like, this one felt, you know, like the stakes were high.
Oh, yeah. I mean, any game where you have the star power, even if it is a play-in game featuring teams that maybe didn't live up to their regular season expectations, you're going to get that. I mean, Russell Westbrook plays harder than probably anybody, even if he had a, you know, 33% shooting night and all of that. And Boston probably wants to make something of their season. So this was a very high stakes game. I think both of these, you know, whoever doesn't win here was going to be pretty disappointed, and they both still have the chance to make the playoffs, of course, but Boston, you know, at least for tonight, we'll see what it means as they continue down this postseason run, but got it together in a big way, got a huge contribution from Jason Tatum with 50, Kemba looking like himself a little bit with 29. So another one where, like we were talking about with Indiana, the readiness to play factor, I think Boston clearly had that, and their superstars just showed up a little bit more than Washington's did.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. And this game was close for the first half. It was kind of back and forth with the Celtics having a lead and then the Wizards just kind of being like the plucky Wizards like they've been all season long, refusing to go away, grabbing a lead before it kind of got whittled down a little bit at halftime before Boston really took over in the second half. You know, we talked a little bit about variance for that last game with the Indiana Pacers and their hot shooting. And this was kind of one of those games where like which team has less variance, which was clearly going to be the Boston Celtics, would be able to win. You know, you could have had a good game for Russell Westbrook or a bad game from Russell Westbrook. And you mentioned he shot 33% on the night, 6 of 18 for 20 points, 14 rebounds. He had 13 rebounds in the first half. And then you didn't really see a ton of him in the second half. And if it was going to be a bad game for Russell Westbrook, which those happen kind of regularly, right? Like they were going to struggle with this one, particularly with Bradley Beal, who clearly wasn't healthy and trying to gut out a win and play as well as he could in this game for the Washington Wizards. But that hamstring was very much bothering him. He finished with just 22 points on the night on 10 of 25 shooting. And as heroic as Jason Tatum was, look, if Westbrook and Beal are only going to combine for 42, the Wizards were going to lose.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in some ways that in a one game situation, that's going to tell you a lot. And it was a night that was sort of defined by the injury situation, both with Beal having that lingering pain. Clearly, I mean, you could have guessed that situation was pretty bad based on not only missing regular season games while they were in a playoff push, but how upset he got at Kent Bazemore during that kind of back and forth about the scoring title. He really took it personally when the injury became part of it. And I think that should show us that he is going through a considerable amount of pain. We obviously saw it up close for ourselves on the broadcast tonight, just grabbing at that pad and dealing with it. But then on the other side as well, Marcus Smart left the game for a moment. Wasn't sure, you know, he had to deal with injuries throughout this whole season. So, oh no, is he going to be missing some time here as well? And then for Kemba Walker, of all guys, to be a little bit of a star tonight with all that he's gone through, recovering from the knee last year and into this season and not having the year he wanted. So injuries kind of told the story. And like you said, the superstar stuff as well. But you talk about the randomness of these one game situations. And I don't want to overreact or go back to last offseason and try to draw conclusions, but the Davis Bertans situation in Washington, that contract,
ooh, he was
and
rough.
How poor he was, is not what you want.
No, he was bad. There were a couple of things, and then I want to get to Jason Tatum here, but there were a couple of things that the Washington Wizards and Scott Brooks did that like I just don't understand. And I'm going to actually listen to Locked On Wizards to learn a little bit more about this. But Bertans was 1 of 8, 0 for 7 from 3 in this one. He was a minus 23 in the game in almost 33 minutes of action. And then what's up with Alex Len and Scott Brooks wanting to play him at like key minutes and times in the games and not pull him when he was terrible, when you have guys like Gafford and Lopez who they're better than him? Like I don't understand that part of it. That was something that was kind of eye-opening to me in this game. And when you mentioned coaching, right, and being well prepared and making kind of the right decisions, and it's all amplified in the one game scenario that we have here, that loomed large, I thought, over this one to a degree.
Yeah, and to be fair, like that center spot has been such a tough one for Washington. They've been playing these three guys. That's less than ideal. And I don't know if any of them really could have protected the rim, because the guy you just said you wanted to talk about, I think that's a perfect transition, because Jason Tatum was just at the rim all night, right? I mean, there wasn't much to do when you have a 6'8", strong, athletic, skilled, you know, guy who can also pass coming at you for the entire second half. It felt like unrelentlessly. I don't know if Gafford or Lopez or Len could have done much. That guy was really feeling it, Tatum.
Yeah, no, they probably not. Look, he scored 50 points in a more or less a must-win game, and he showed up. And look, the rest of his team didn't play particularly great, right? The Celtics shot 40% from the field overall. He had to carry them. Otherwise, there was a good chance that this game would have been closer and a little bit more uncomfortable for the Boston Celtics. So for him to put the team on his shoulders and on his back and carry them like he did was truly impressive from him. And to do it on this big of a stage, it was awesome to see. 50 points on the night, 5 of 12 from 3. He was a perfect 17 of 17 from the free throw line. 8 rebounds, 4 assists, just 2 turnovers. Like, what a performance from him in a game when they were dealing with injuries, as you said. Marcus Smart left the game. Robert Williams left the game and didn't return in this one. There were a number of things like that. He had to carry him, and he did, because that Wizards team, at least for the first half, just wouldn't go away in this one.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think there's been reasonable, I'm sure you guys talk about it often on the Wednesday show with John, being up close for this team. It just, the ball can get stuck. And I think that that was happening at points in the first half. And there were moments where I was, you know, starting to wonder, is this, I mean, honestly, like, Washington seemed to be grooving a little bit better as a team unit early. They were the ones that had the advantage And then that just kind of went away because Tatum made it so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what you need in a situation like this. And he carried him, and he's the reason they won. Obviously, scored 50, more so than anything else. You know, big breaking analysis here on Locked On NBA. But I don't know, both Hachimura. Of these games... Yeah, there you go. Games were pretty fun to watch, I thought, despite the fact that the final scores weren't really there. And it just kind of shows. I love the play-in tournament. I thought this was awesome. I'm really looking forward to the two games coming up tonight in the Western Conference. We'll get to those coming up here next on today's edition, the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA. But before we do that, today's episode of Locked On NBA is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. And I want to know what your favorite Built Bar flavor is. And did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor like the Churro Puff Bar or the Coconut Brownie Chunk, both of which I buy and both of which are awesome. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorite flavors. The flavors are coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. There's something for everybody. My favorite flavor right now, mint brownie, tastes like mint chocolate chip ice cream, except it's good for you. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 different flavors. And most of them have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, and just 4 grams net carbs, which means if you take one of these after you've gone to the gym, even one of these after you've gone to the gym, you're not having wasted all of that cardio you just did. The calories are that low. So if you want to give them a try, go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You're going to get 15% off your next order. Again, that is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com.
Today's show is also brought to you by Bet Online, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Really the busiest time of the sports calendar right now. MLB, NBA, NHL, all in full swing. The latter two in the playoffs and fights. Seemingly every weekend, you got the last leg of the Triple Crown coming up. Tennis, golf, all throughout the summer. My personal favorite, the WNBA, which is very kind of Bet Online to give us some odds. They are one of the only places that do it. So you can find some good stuff on the WNBA as well if you're a hoops fan. So before the next pitch, guys, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the news, sign up bonuses, and contest info that they have. And don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Check these things out. You can find something, I promise you, whether it is any of those sports or the entertainment business. They do all sorts of stuff with awards and reality TV as well. BetOnline has you covered for all of it. So head to the website, guys, or go to their mobile app. Make an account today and use the promo code LOCKEDON when you make your first deposit to get a 50% welcome bonus. Again, that's LOCKEDON when you make your first deposit at BetOnline to get a 50% welcome bonus straight to your account. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, continuing the theme of today's show, the NBA play-in tournament, which frankly, like, I can't get enough of. And even though the two games last night weren't particularly close, I genuinely enjoyed watching these because the stakes were there. And I'm really excited to watch these two games tonight in the Western Conference. You've got the San Antonio Spurs versus the Memphis Grizzlies, and then really the marquee matchup of Golden State versus Los Angeles Lakers here, Steph Curry versus LeBron. But let's touch on the Spurs and Memphis game here. This is why I like the play-in tournament, right? The Spurs limped into this, barely were able to make it. They lost 4 straight games and 10 of 12 as they hit the end of the regular season. And none of that matters now. Like, it's kind of like a momentum changer, good or bad for you. And you kind of get an interesting matchup here where it's a bit of a like changing of the guard. Are the kind of upstart young Memphis Grizzlies going to knock out the San Antonio Spurs, who have seemingly done this forever, even though they weren't really in it last season? And they had a strong end to the season. I think they won 4 or 5 straight before losing their finale, but two teams going in different directions. And none of that kind of matters right now. It's intriguing, I think.
Oh, it is for sure. And that, like, we're keeping on a lot of these same things because I think they're going to matter in these play-in games, no matter who's playing. And it's coaching is what I'm really coming back to with this one. It's, you know, when you give Greg Popovich one game to really sell out and form a game plan to do whatever it takes to beat this one team for 48 minutes, I think some crazy things can happen. I think, you know, what he does defending Ja Morant with the length and athleticism that San Antonio has on their wing. And just generally speaking, you know, whether, like you said, this younger Memphis team with DeMar DeRozan, a pretty trusty bucket getter in a situation like this, and all the advantages that San Antonio has, despite being the worst record team. It is a fascinating battle, one that I think the play-in game sort of makes it a little bit more even, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And this is one of those things where, like, I just can't go against Popovich in a situation like this. I do think very easily the Memphis Grizzlies are the better team, but Popovich, and then, as you mentioned, bucket getter in DeMar DeRozan, you know, like, if he goes for 40 and they win the game, are you necessarily surprised if that happens?
No way. No, I think this is a perfectly made game for DeMar DeRozan to just work.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it could be a lot of fun. It's also a potential coming out party for a guy like Ja Morant. If he's, you know, more so than he already is, if he's able to really step up and kind of lead this team, and if it gets close down the stretch, it could be his time to shine. You know, we almost got the Ish Smith game. We didn't even really mention him in the Wizards versus Celtics. And I was hoping for kind of like a crazy moment like that, or someone to really kind of put their stamp on it that you're almost not expecting. And you have a number of guys that could do things like this. So, like, I'm excited for this. Like, this is going to be a really fun game, and it's not the most exciting of the night, which is very clearly going to be the Golden State Warriors taking on the Los Angeles Lakers in the later game here. It's Steph Curry versus LeBron. Like, this is just as made for TV as it gets, I think, in the NBA in a play-in scenario.
Oh yeah, I mean, not to mention, you know, the how will LeBron look part of this. There's that. You know, playoff Draymond Green is back on our in our lives on the hardwood. There's so many little wrinkles. What does the Lakers center rotation look like? It'll be kind of our first taste of playoff Lakers this year to just see who they play, who's going to be on the floor for this team. But another one where obviously you ask 100 NBA fans, they probably 99 of them are going to say the Lakers are the better team. But when you start to factor in the randomness, the ability that Curry has to do what he can do, and the experience factor of this Warriors team specifically with at least its two stars, it's like, you know, you start to get to thinking. Obviously, the Lakers are the favorite here. I think everybody would agree, but I don't think it's decided at all. I'm thrilled to watch it.
Yeah, this one should be a lot of fun. As you mentioned, there's a lot of wrinkles in it. You know, even the Andre Drummond situation, as you mentioned, what's the center situation going to look like for the Lakers? There have been times when he's been useful. There have been times when they've probably kept him out on the court longer than he should be out there, and he's tried to almost take over the games himself. You can't really afford that. And it puts a lot on the coaching staff to really try and figure out the rotation. And Frank Vogel's going to have his hands full with this one, I think. I see a big LeBron game coming. He's kind of setting the tone and the narrative that he wants this to look really heroic, right? Like, you've heard him kind of say this throughout the year and in the lead up to it, saying that the play-in tournament was a terrible idea, which makes this going to be even more tougher for him to come out of the play-in tournament and try and repeat as champions. You had Jared Dudley say one of the more ridiculous things I think I've ever heard, where he said the Lakers being in the play-in tournament makes this one of the toughest roads to the championship, or something exactly like that, ever in the history of the NBA, which is such an eye roll inducing comment for me. But it seems like LeBron wants to make like a real big statement here. He also just said Steph Curry is the MVP of the league, right? So now he gets to beat the MVP of the league in the play-in tournament in his mind. There's a lot of narrative forming coming from LeBron, I think.
Oh yeah. And not to mention the, you know, I don't know when I'll be 100% again, if ever.
Oh yeah, comment. I forgot that one.
And then you had Curry responding to the MVP fluffing that LeBron gave him by saying, you know, that's all he kind of said, you know, I appreciate that. He only says things when he really wants them to be heard, but he's like, I'm not going easy. Like we don't need to get confused here. I appreciate it, but I'm not changing any of my competitiveness here as a result of this. So no, I think we're going to see high minutes from the superstars. I think we're going to see a very competitive game. I think we're going to see, you know, the coaches kind of showing their cards right away, selling out to try to win this one. And like you said, probably a big LeBron game, probably a big Curry game, just baked into this whole thing. I don't see a way that we don't get massive performances from those two guys. And again, like we talked about with Rui Hachimura having to defend Jason Tatum, I just feel already ahead of time just bad for Andrew Wiggins, who's probably going to get that LeBron matchup. Poor guy.
Yeah, they don't really have anyone else who can kind of handle that sort of thing. And it's a shame because he's been good at times, I think, like particularly good for the Golden State Warriors and big for them. And yeah, he's probably going to get torched defensively here.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's younger. He's very inexperienced in the playoffs. He probably, LeBron has like 100 pounds on him. I do not envy Andrew Wiggins, but it'll be interesting because it'll be kind of a test of like, you know, is this Wiggins thing actually going in the right direction for Golden State? And what a way to test it, but to defend the, you know, what, GOAT, maybe, whatever we call LeBron now, yeah. Very much up there in that conversation. So, yeah.
We don't need to have that specific one here. That's like probably a couple of shows just to hash that out. The Lakers, by the way, 5-game winning streak going into this. The Golden State Warriors, a 6-game winning streak going into this. So, you know, this is for whoever is going to be the 7th seed taking on your Phoenix Suns. Do you have a preference, obviously, maybe, on which one you'd rather see win this one?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be breaking any news to say that I think most Suns fans would 100% will be rooting for the Golden State Warriors in this matchup. There might even be like some rain dances or whatever, just to make the positive energy go in that direction. Yeah. No one wants to face the Lakers. And that speaks for the whole West. Nobody in this entire bracket West wants to face the Lakers right now.
No, you know, they're starting to kind of peak a little bit at the right time. LeBron seems very, very motivated. That's kind of who I'm putting my money on this one. But as we said, in one game sample, things get a little bit crazy. And Steph Curry is arguably the best shooter of all time in the NBA. And that can be the real great equalizer here. So I'm looking forward to both of these games tonight in the Western Conference play-in tournament. So that's going to do it for the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA, all play-in tournament talk, because this has been so much fun. But there's a lot of other sports news going on, and you can recap it all on the Locked On Today podcast. Local experts weighing in on who should win the MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and Head Coach of the Year. So get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And on Wednesdays, I'm your usual co-host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast.
Filling in today for John, I'm Brendan Clean, host of the Locked On Suns podcast. I'm at Brendan Clean on Twitter.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back with you all next week.